Good evening, church family. How's everybody doing tonight? You all look good. Everyone looks great. I had my fair share of turkey and dressing as well, at least probably three different times, I think. I don't know about you, but I think the Thanksgiving meal definitely has ran its course in our home, and we enjoyed it several times. So I am so glad to be here tonight and to have the privilege and the opportunity. It's a joy to be able to serve in this amazing church, by the way, and to have the opportunity to come and preach God's word to you tonight, to be a part of the ministry that God is doing here at Quail, is just a huge blessing to be here working along with our young adults. That's a reminder of what I do here at the church. My wife and I and our four kiddos, we moved here back in March, and God has just continued to do a great and mighty work in our personal lives as well as in our ministry. And we are just thrilled to be here. We absolutely love seeing what God is doing here at Quail. You know, we all go through different types of seasons in life. And seasons come in all different types of shapes and sizes, from the calendar of the year. You could talk about how with seasons going from spring to summer, fall, and winter. Also, seasons when it comes to one's age or their maturity, from that of a child to growing up to becoming a teenager, into the adult years as well as into the senior adult years, all the way to talking about seasons of maybe spiritual growth as a process of seeing what God has done in your life from the time that maybe you were a newborn babe in Christ to where you were just on spiritual milk and God began to introduce you to more solid food spiritually. You can look back and you can see where God began to grow in you over a period of time. It's a process of sanctification and God doing this work in your life throughout this season. I don't know if you've ever gone through a season in your life where you have firsthand witnessed, you've seen God's provision in your life, where your steps of faith resulted in God's faithfulness back to you. You ever been in those times where there might have been a time of testing that was taking place and you saw God's great hand of provision in your life and you knew that it was a response from God that resulted from maybe our acts of faith that we step forward? God's nature, part of his nature, is to care and to protect, to provide for his children. Although it may not always be in a way that we would expect or the timing that we would always want, God always provides. I think back to the Apostle Paul, who went through all kinds of seasons in his own life, did he not? I think back to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul gives a personal testimony of knowing what it was like to be in need, but he also knew what it was like to have it all. He knew what it was like to be brought low as well as to abound. He knew what it was like to be full, but he also knew what it was like to be hungry. And in his quest to be content, regardless of the circumstances, he makes this really bold statement in verse 19 out of chapter 4 in Philippians, where he says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus." God, he supplies our needs. And it's not always according to our plan, but according to his plan. And that sounds good, right? At least until you are the one who is in the position of great need. And then I think it goes from something that we might agree with in concept to now I am in the position, or maybe my family is in the position where we are on the altar and we are coming to God and begging on God's behalf, on our maybe family's behalf. God, we're in desperate need for you to come up and show up and maybe do the unthinkable, do the unimaginable, maybe do the impossible. I don't know if you've ever been in situations like that. It's like that question of, do I really trust God? I've had seasons in our lives. I think back to the last couple of years. It was almost 2 years ago when a lot of the process for our journey in an act of faith and taking steps forward occurred when a man by the name of Jerry Ross contacted me. We began a conversation that went over a period of time, and it was almost 1 year ago where my family came here to this church in view of a call, asking God to give us counsel and wisdom about our potential to come in here and be a part of the ministry for the young adults here at Quail. Our testimony echoes what I believe Paul's testimony is, in the fact that we can look back over the course of the last year and even 2 years, and we can look back and boldly say, God has supplied our needs all throughout this time period for us. Seasons of unknowns. Have you ever been through that? Seasons of unknowns where your faith is tested and you look back and you see where God was a part of the process and the plan all the way through. Times where risk was involved, trust was required, and His provision was profound. Where you can sit back and you can say, God, I praise you. I bless you because you were faithful. You weren't faithful to come through and do what I wanted you to do. You were faithful to come through and do what you wanted to do according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You got your way, because his way is always best and his way is always good. And that has been somewhat of the story of our lives for the last year, year and a half now especially. I would say God has provided for us spiritually. God met us and he grew us in the process. He met us in a state, what I would even say mentally, where we were able to step into this church in a season where for us it seemed a little chaotic because there were a lot of unknowns, but we stepped into a season of breathe. Also, he has provided for us socially in the sense that he has provided friendships for us, mentors. He's provided accountability for us in this church. He has provided for us a church family. I would say physically as well, he has provided for us and for our family. He has provided, during the course of the last however many months it's been, two different houses that we have lived in. One house belonging to some church members, as well as the other house, which belongs to the church, being the mission house. He provided for us a few borrowed cars during this period of time when we were in a situation where we desperately needed help. He provided a buyer for our home. He provided a home in Oklahoma City that was just right for our needs that we have, both of which, again, that we closed on this last Wednesday. Praise the Lord. That's a huge thing for us. Thank you for praying, church. He provided for us emotionally by giving us listening ears and wise counsel. And he also provided for us in the sense of with ministry, that he has given us the opportunity to serve with a focused group in this church that we absolutely love, being young adults. So what has God been teaching us? Typically, when I'm asked to have an opportunity to preach or to teach, it's one of the first types of questions that I ask myself is, what is God doing in me? What is it that I can share with you that God has been doing inside of me? And this resounding theme of God provides. He provides in moments where it might seem questionable, it might seem bleak, it might seem uncertain. That's typically where God puts the exclamation point, and he shows up in ways that we might not have expected. And then you take a step back and go, man, why me of little faith, right? It's in his nature. I can remember when Nikki and I, when in our prayer times together, I started changing a little bit of the course of the prayer. And I remember Nikki saying, you sure you want to pray this way? But I remember starting to pray, God, increase our faith, increase our trust. He's worthy to be trusted. And we are living testimonies tonight that God does indeed supply our every need. My question here is, do you believe that God knows what you need? Do you believe that God knows what you need? Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. Do you believe that God knows what our church needs during this time? Do you believe that God knows the unknown for us as we're stepping into a situation where we heard news this morning where, yes, there's a lot of mixed emotions. There's concern. There might be a little bit of uncertainty in the pathway ahead. Are we certain and confident that God is already in tomorrow? He's already in next month and next year. He sees things from a different perspective than we obviously do. We throw this word need around like it's nothing these days, do we not? I need a nice car. I need a nice house. I need a nice phone. I need a nice paycheck. I need a nice career. I need a nice retirement, right? We can throw that word out there sometimes, and we're not even quite sure we really know what we need. I can assure you, I might think I know what I need. Many times the things that I think I need would probably run me into the ground, into a place of ruin. God always knows what we need. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour of span to their life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today it's alive and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And I think Jesus is saying in this, I am in control. Stop being so anxious about the things that you cannot control. I provide food. I provide clothing. I provide breath in your lungs. I provide the leadership for your church. I am the one who oversees the process, and we are entrusted with pieces of that. But God is the one who is in control. And I love verse 33 and the reminder there. I know what you need and I will provide for you, but in the meantime, seek me. Seek me. Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. The implication here is that when we seek God, opposed to his plans, he provides. What does it mean to seek God? I think that's a question that our church, obviously at this point in time, needs to be asking. What does it look like to seek after God for his leadership in our lives individually as well as our lives collectively? Are we devoted to his word? Are we devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to obedience? And are we trusting the provider more than we're trusting for the provision? And that's one of those questions I'm not quite sure I really like to answer for myself, but it's one I think that we need to ponder and we need to chew on. Are we more interested in trusting in the provider than we are in the provision? Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Again, God does not always provide the way that we think that he should. Because of this, things like doubt and fear and anxiety and worry begins to set in. And in our great ignorance and impatience, we can easily attempt to fix it ourselves. How many fixers do we have here tonight? Raise your hand. Come on, let's see you. I want to know that I'm in a company of friends here. I'm like that, okay? I don't know if you've ever been there or not, where you have that thought of, God, you missed this one. How did you miss this, right? Let me help you out. And in your ignorance and even your arrogance, you attempt to fix things on your own according to your plans. How did that work out for you? For myself, it never works out. I'm reminded of the passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does it mean to acknowledge him? I believe that means it's to trust him. I'm going to acknowledge you that I not only believe you as Savior, but you are my Lord. You're the one who provides light for my path. Acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He will provide. Our trust is in the provider more than it is for the provision. Tonight, I want to talk about a short story in the book of 2 Kings. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to 2 Kings. Don't worry, that wasn't really, it might have seemed like an introduction, but how many of you guys ever seen The Gong Show? Remember that from back in the day? There's no gongs anywhere around here, just so y'all know. So I checked earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this story, and I think it's very fitting and a great reminder. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. And he said, go outside, borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went and she went in and she shut the door behind herself with her sons. And she began to pour into the vessels. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. And the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God. And then he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts as you and your sons can live on the rest. So what do we see going on in this story? We see a woman whose husband has died. Her two sons, it's just her and her two sons. And she's crying out to the prophet Elisha of, I'm in desperate need of help. I cannot pay for the unpaid debt that my husband left behind for us, and is crying out to Elisha saying, your servant, which implies there was some sort of a relationship there. A creditor has come, and now my sons are at stake, right? She did not have the means to pay back the unpaid debt, but a creditor could legally take the two sons as a form of payment during this time. And Elisha says, what can I do for you? What do you have in your house? And she says her response is a jar of oil. The next thing you know, she's told to go to the neighbors' houses and to collect jars from her neighbors, to privately go behind closed doors and begin to fill these vessels with oil. But what happened? She didn't collect enough vessels, for one. She could have collected more because eventually the oil stopped flowing because there were no more vessels in the house. But God provided for her, and she was told to sell the oil and go and pay your debts. A few observations I just want to make about this passage tonight before we go. First of all is this, the stakes were high. The stakes were high. This woman had literally lost her husband and was about to lose her two sons. She had no means to pay her debt and no ability to fix the situation herself. I don't know if you've ever been there in a time of despair, a time of hopelessness, a time where even on your best day, you could have done everything that you could have creatively done, and it would have never been enough to bail you out of the situation that you might have been in. A place where God tests you in your dependence on him. And the enemy can typically use those moments to tempt you to be filled with fear and doubt. I had a conversation last night over the phone with a former student of mine who is on the verge of losing his family. And we spoke for over an hour, and just listening to him pour out his heart in a moment of hopelessness, in a moment of despair. And he asked this question before we finished. One of his last questions was, can I trust God? Can I trust God? Is God really trustworthy? Even if we don't get the results that we want, if the timing isn't exactly how we wanted, is God still good? Can he be trusted? I believe God uses moments like these to teach us to depend on him. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 6, to seek him first and foremost, and to trust that he will provide according to his plans and not ours. The woman was overwhelmed. I don't know if I can even begin to imagine the anxiety, the worry, the feeling of despair that she must have felt. And God, oftentimes you see in his word, where he does not address a physical need without also addressing the needs of the heart. I'm reminded also in Psalm chapter 23, these beautiful words that most all of you know, I'm sure, of the reminder of what it means for God to address the needs of the heart in our life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And the reminder here is that God walks with us in those moments where we might be in moments of despair, in moments of hopelessness, in moments where there might even be unknowns and fear may creep in, that God is there and he provides himself. The stakes were high. She had everything to lose. What could she possibly do in her own strength to change the course of the situation? Second of all, I'll make this observation, is that her resources were small. Have you ever noticed that God loves to use what little we have? God uses oftentimes what little we have. The widow with two coins. She didn't have a lot of money. The story of the widow with two coins, right? It wasn't about the amount that she gave, but it was about that she gave out of her poverty, right? It was how she gave out of her poverty. In the story of 2 Kings, it's the widow's jars. She did what Elisha told her to do in verse 3. Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty the vessels and not too few. God often begins with what little we have. Do you think that in this moment, for this woman, as she was beginning to collect the jars, as she asked the question, is God able to be trusted in this moment? Do you believe her faith was trusted here? At what point do you think that the widow began to think, well, I guess that's enough jars? It reminds me of the story in John 21 where Jesus and the disciples had been out fishing, right? Or the disciples were out fishing all night, and at daybreak they come back to the shore. And what is it that Jesus, he asked this question about, you know, how much fish did you catch? And they were out all night long and they didn't catch anything, right? And he told them to go back out one more time and to throw their net on the other side of the boat. And probably they were filled with doubt, filled with moments of this isn't going to happen. Yet in response of obedience, they did just that. The net was too full to be able to pull out the fish. God always provides for us in accordance to our faith, even if it's small. Remember when Jesus said in Matthew 17, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Faith, when it is true faith, even if it is small, it matters a great deal. There is a story also in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus tells the two blind men, as he heals them, it is in accordance to your faith that you have been healed. I don't know what resources you may have when you look at your resources tonight, but I do know that God is the one who doesn't need them. God often uses maybe what little we have, but he doesn't need our resources to come in and provide for us. I believe he honestly prefers the less resources that we feel like we can bring to the table, the better off it is, because God gets more glory in those situations. There's more reasons to brag on God when we have less to bring to the table. For this widow, the stakes were high, the resources were small, and lastly, his provision was great. Again, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His plans and his timing, his pathways that he leads us on, many times they're different than we thought that it might have been. But God always supplies our needs. The stories don't always end like they do in chapter 4 of 2 Kings. You can go through times in your life where you pray for maybe the healing of a sick family member. They don't continue to live. You can go through seasons of life where you pray desperately for your house to sell, and your house doesn't sell. You can go through times in your life where you can pray for a friend or a family member to be open to the gospel. They're not open to the gospel, as days are turning into weeks and years. And in those moments, stories don't always end like the way that we think that they should, because we, again, can be very impatient and very arrogant to think that our timing and our ways are right. But if God is truly sovereign and he sees from a different perspective, he's worthy to be trusted. His provision is always best. We see in the New Testament miracle after miracle where God shows up and he provides in such a profound way. And I believe that God is in the business of providing for us. My fear is that we will not always recognize it, and we will not always acknowledge it, and we will not always see the path that he's put before us and walk confidently, obediently down that path. And that's why I believe that when Jesus says, "Seek me first, and all the other things will be added to you, but seek me first as your provider, and then the provision will come according to his riches." I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you this question tonight. How has God shown himself to be a provider in your life? Some of you may be in a situation where even tonight, your faith is being tested. You might feel like you're in a time of despair or a time of hopelessness. The enemy is doing everything he can to attack you, to stir up moments of fear or doubt or anxiety in your mind or in your heart. And I would encourage tonight to rest in those words of seeking Jesus alone, that we can come to him and we can rest in him. That's where we can find our rest. You may be here tonight and you may find yourself where you just need to sit for a few moments and begin to pray prayers of faith and ask that God would provide for us in accordance to our faith. And even if they might be as small as the grain of a mustard seed, that God would honor that. And his plans for our life, his plans for our church would begin to work its way forward. You may be here tonight and you may have a decision to make. And we're going to encourage you during this time of invitation as the music begins to play. Brother James is going to lead us in a song. And just from where you're seated, you can remain with your heads bowed and remain seated. And Brother Ray's here at the front. If anyone would like to come and be able to have someone to meet with or to pray with, the altar is obviously open as well as we go through this. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we trust you, God. That's the prayer of our heart, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would provide for us. But God, that you would not just provide things for us, God, that you would remind us of the importance that you have provided yourself. Lord, we love you, God. And I ask, Lord, that you would meet us where we are, even in moments of maybe despair or hopelessness. God, that you would meet us right where we are tonight. Lord, we love you so much, and we need you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.